from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, September 30th. Coming up, could helping people find a stable place to live improve their health and save money? We'll look at California's efforts to push Medicaid coverage beyond the four walls of traditional health care in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Election officials across Illinois are getting flooded with letters from conspiracy theorists who say the 2020 presidential election was rigged. Dan Mihalopoulos reports.
Joe Biden beat Donald Trump nearly 2 years ago, but in recent weeks, officials in Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield have received form letters threatening to sue over the outcome. The same thing's happening in every state, says Jessica Hoosman from the Vote Beat Election News website.
Even though they're meant to look like they're grassroots because somebody puts their individual name on it, but obviously these folks aren't just conveniently writing the exact same word. So this is a very organized effort.
But officials say they have not yet been served with any lawsuits.
Dan Mihalopoulos reporting. Former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar is endorsing Republican candidate Dan Brady for Secretary of State. The Bloomington lawmaker is running against Democratic candidate from Chicago, Alexi Janulius. At a press conference yesterday, Edgar says Brady's moderate politics make him more likely to win statewide office than GOP candidates in other races.
Because he is someone that can appeal to all Illinoisans, and not just to Republicans, not just to people in downstate Illinois, but to all Illinoisans. And to be successful as a Republican, you got to be able to do that, because we don't have the numbers.
Edgar's comments come as Trump-endorsed Darren Bailey hopes to unseat incumbent Democrat J.B. Pritzker as governor. Brady has also received endorsements from the Illinois Education Association, Chamber of Commerce, and Fraternal Order of Police. Today is the last day the public has the chance to provide input on Illinois' state water plan. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin has more.
This is the first time the state water plan has been updated in 40 years. The goal of the plan is to promote clean and safe drinking and recreational water in Illinois. It includes input from various stakeholders, including the Departments of Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Health, among many others. Max Webster is the Midwest Policy Manager for American Farmland Trust. He says the state relies on public comment to understand what its priorities should be.
This is an opportunity for people to provide that feedback and to get their concerns over to decision makers so that they can take action on it.
He says the vast majority of waterways in Illinois do not meet certain safety standards for drinking and swimming, and that this plan could help change that. It heads straight to the General Assembly after this. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
You can submit comments on the Illinois Department of Natural Resources website. The Illinois Department of Public Health and University of Illinois are starting a new pilot program to monitor COVID-19 in schools through wastewater testing. IDPH and the U of I's Discovery Partners Institute will choose up to 20 schools across the state to take part in the 25-week program. It's an expansion of the current Illinois wastewater surveillance system, and the schools selected will be in areas already part of that testing, which includes more than 70 wastewater treatment plants in the state. Samples will be collected twice per week at participating schools and tested for COVID, along with influenza A and B, at a U of I Chicago laboratory. They'll compare those results with COVID-19 saliva test results at the same schools to see if wastewater sampling combined with the saliva testing could be a more cost-effective approach to monitoring for the virus. If the pilot program is successful, it could be expanded to include more schools across Illinois. Still to come, a look at California's plan to expand Medicaid beyond the four walls of traditional health care. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new three-part documentary series, The Great Muslim American Road Trip, follows a millennial Muslim American couple on a cross-country journey along historic Route 66. In the film, Mona Haidar and her husband Sebastian Robbins visit with diverse groups of Muslims across the country to better understand the centuries-long Islamic experience in the United States. They explore more than a dozen communities between Chicago and Los Angeles, including Springfield. Learn how you can stream this at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Now it's time for a look at the latest in health policy news from SideFX Public Media's partner, Tradeoffs.
Could helping people find a stable place to live improve their health and save money? I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Tradeoffs. health officials across the country are turning their eyes to California, which is in the early days of the most ambitious effort yet to push Medicaid coverage beyond the four walls of traditional healthcare. It's a new program called CalAIM. It launched at the beginning of this year, and Trade-Off's producer Ryan Levy is here to tell us more about it. Ryan, what's California trying to do with this program?
So CalAIM is actually a massive overhaul of California's Medicaid program, which is the largest in the country, covering nearly 15 million people.
And for those who don't know, Medicaid is the joint federal and state health insurance program for low-income and disabled Americans.
Exactly. And California has crammed a lot into CalAIM. There's expanded dental benefits, new ways of treating addiction, better patient sharing data. But the thing that has Medicaid officials all over the country really watching California is the part of the initiative that's trying to go beyond traditional healthcare to actually stabilizing the lives of some of the program's most complex and vulnerable patients.
What does that mean, Ryan, stabilizing people's lives?
I'll give you an example, Dan. We met Dale Stout when we were in Riverside, California, which is about 50 miles east of L.A. Dale is 50. He had a stroke earlier this year. And while he was in the hospital, the bank took his house. He became homeless. Now, Dale is on Medicaid, which normally would mean that the program would pay for his time in the hospital, and then Dale would be on his own to figure out whatever comes next. But with CalAIM, Medicaid paid for Dale to go to a facility where he could stay for a few months to get back to full strength.
If they hadn't stepped in and taken me, I would have been on the streets. I would have went right back to drinking. I'd be dead.
While Dale's been there, he's relearned how to walk, gotten sober, scheduled brain surgery. CalAIM has also paid for a caseworker to help Dale look for a new place to live and apply for housing assistance.
So it sounds like the big idea here is that California believes in order to help someone like Dale take better care of his health, they first need to deal with some of his basic social needs, like, as you were saying, a place to stay. And then if they can do that, he'll actually be healthier and cost Medicaid less in the long run.
That's right, Dan. And this is kind of radical. I mean, Medicaid is a health insurance program, you know, not a housing agency. You actually can't use federal Medicaid dollars to pay for someone's rent. But CalAIM is pushing the envelope, so it includes 14 things that are closer really to social services, like helping someone find an apartment like Dale, treating mold in the home of someone with asthma, or covering the cost of meals for a diabetic.
Okay, so this started January 1st. How are things going so far, Ryan? The good, the bad, the ugly?
Well, it's obviously early, but there are some promising signs. So Dale Stout, who we've been talking about, is potentially on track to move into his own place this fall, thanks to CalAIM. But his story also illustrates one of the biggest challenges facing the program, and that's housing availability. You know, Dale's been healthy enough to move into his own place for months, but he's been stuck at that facility waiting for a housing voucher to come through, something that CalAIM can't really do anything about. And since no state has tried to do anything like this at such a large scale, we're really going to need to see some rigorous evaluation to know if all the Medicaid money California spends on these social services actually improves people's health and saves money in the long term.
Trade-Off's producer Ryan Levy, thank you so much for your reporting on this.
No problem, Dan.
To hear much more about CalAIM, including its origin story, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
Find more health news from Trade-Offs and WILL at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny again today with a high of 70 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Dan Mihalopoulos, Mawa Iqbal, Dana Cronin, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.